Okay, let us continue. We now know why the quest of meaning arises, and we know what it wants from me. It wants me, my presence. But how can we define meaning? What do we understand with that term, purpose and meaning? We must make a distinction between two forms of meaning. There is this big question of meaning, the question of the meaning of being. We call it the ontological meaning. This means the practical question is, what is the meaning of my life, of my being there? Why at all am I on this earth? I'm getting something from Leslie.
Got it back.
You got it back. The ontological meaning is why, what is the reason that something is there, that something exists at all? Why is there a universe and an earth and human beings and AIDS and me?
And AIDS?
AIDS, yeah.
AIDS.
Also. Why is there sickness at all? It's also an ontological question of meaning. Do we need AIDS? What is the meaning of AIDS? Who knows it? Yeah.
To sell medicine.
You're very practical.
Yeah, right. Don't go there, it's dangerous.
Yeah. It brings up the saying, no risk, no fun, but it's very risky.
It's a lot of risk.
It's a lot of risk. So, these are ontological meanings. And there is another form of meaning, the existential meaning. The existential meaning is the meaning of the situation. This is much, much smaller. The actual meaning, the meaning of this moment, of this hour. Do you have an idea what the meaning of this hour is?
That's called
ontology. Existential. Existential meaning. Max Scheler calls it also situational meaning. But Frankl calls it existential meaning, and most authors call it existential meaning, but in some philosophy you also find situational meaning. Before I said ontological meaning,
yeah,
or ontic meaning. It can also be said an ontic meaning. Yeah. So maybe I write it down, it's always better. It makes it more difficult for Leslie, but she manages it. Meaning. Two forms of the ontologic and the existential. Ontologic means meaning of being. In practical terms, for instance, meaning of life. Many people bring up that question when they are confronted with a difficult life situation. After the death of my husband, what does life have? What meaning does my life have? Does my life have anymore? After the death of my child, or with this sickness, etc. Or young people bring that question. In puberty I had that question, what for do I live? What is the meaning of my life? I want to know why I am on the earth, so that I can choose the right profession and make the right decisions. And I didn't know. And I had to realize that I even can't know it. I can find some answers in religion, or in philosophy, or in sensing, feeling, having an idea, but a clear knowledge, you don't get. I didn't get. And I did never meet anybody who knew what the meaning of my life is. So we are all in some insecurity and darkness as far as is concerned the meaning of life. We are tapping around and testing.
We're getting strongly decide the meaning for the life.
How can you decide for the meaning of life?
I mean, not for the meaning of life in general, but the meaning of my life?
Yeah, then this is the other meaning. That's the existential meaning. That means the meaning of this situation. I make a few explanations of these, of the existential meaning now, and then we come back to the loss of meaning and what we can do. Existential meaning is defined as the best possibility in this situation. Or we can even put that into brackets and simply say now, here and now. The best possibility, which means we have to look at what is possible now, instead of looking at what is blocked now. Sounds quite philosophical, but it's very practical. We have many possibilities now. What is the best possibility? We can go out for a walk, or read books, or change the theme, or talk with each other, or tell jokes, etc., etc. Hundreds of possibilities we have now. And we have to find out what is the best of all these wonderful possibilities. They are all good, funny. And this is a difficulty for the human being so free that we can do different things. And they are all good. And some are better, and some are not so good. But many of these things are good. There are possibilities which are very bad. Like, we can jump out of the window and die. This is also a possibility. I would not suggest that. But it is a possibility. So, we have to make a decision. We cannot escape that existential force, constraint to make a decision. We are free, we must make decisions. We are radically free, but we are not free to be not free. We are forced to be free. We are constrained to be free. So we must make decisions. Even when we say, I don't want to decide, or I can't decide, it is a decision. And because we are so limited, or so forced by our essence to make decisions, and since we don't have time, endless time, the question of meaning comes up, and the question of meaning is the question of what in the hell is the best decision now? I think continuing the seminar. That's the reason why we came together. If there were other people who were not interested in the seminar, they would propose to sing or to dance or make music, which is also like lovely. But these people here came by that purpose, to be in the seminar. So in this situation, it is in the air that we continue with the seminar. It is this shared consent of all of us. And so it is meaningful, it is the meaning of this situation to have that seminar. But in 3 hours, it wouldn't be very meaningful to continue the seminar so long. We would be hungry and tired, and then other elements are in our situation. The hunger and being tired means it doesn't make a lot of sense to continue in that seminar. It's better we go into a restaurant and eat and go to sleep. And so each situation has sometimes naturally, its best. It is obvious what is the best possibility. In many situations, it's so clear that we don't even think about the meaning because it's obvious, it's clear. Almost automatically, spontaneously, we fulfill meaning. Because we feel it. It is in the air. It is what for this situation is created. But sometimes it's not so clear. And even when it is not so clear, the same grammar can be applied to look around. What is the best possibility in that situation? What is possible? When I get diagnosed a cancer, I feel destroyed. And the feeling is possibly now life is over. What can I do with the rest, with the remaining of that life? This reminder of life, is it valuable for something? I don't know. Suffering will come, maybe. Time is limited. And we see all the limitations, the damage, the loss, the reduction of our life. Existential meaning means what possibilities are there? Maybe you are not experienced about having what possibilities are there when you are on a wheelchair because you have never lived on a wheelchair. Maybe you are not familiar with the possibilities we have when you have a cancer, or when you are in a depression, or when we are left alone. There are possibilities. But when we are not used to look at them, we at the first glance won't see them. And this means have a closer look, look around. Maybe with the help of a friend, maybe with the help of a psychologist. What is still possible having a cancer? Do you know what is the most obstacle, the most common obstacle in such talks? What makes it so difficult to find meaning? Because some people have enough ideas what is still possible when I have a cancer. The problem is another one. The problem is not that they don't see possibilities. Of course they know I can read books, I can listen to music, I can go into the internet, or whatever, or talk with myself, or pray, or whatever. Of course they know about these possibilities, intellectually. Yeah, most people are clever enough. Maybe sometimes it's helpful for people to give them more ideas what they could do. But the obstacle lies on another point. I don't want that. I don't want to give up what I had before. I want to continue the old life. It was so good, so beautiful. I want to have more from that. I'm not ready to give that up in my age at that point. I want to continue to climb mountains and to play tennis and to travel the world. And to function in my profession as before. And all my remarks and claims and suffering I had before is forgotten now. I would love to do that before where I wasn't so happy, but losing it? No. But that's the point. People, we human beings, people, this means you and me and every one of us, we all have difficulties to separate, to give up, to leave alone, to something which was so good, which was valuable. Losing means we have to undergo a grieving process. So many obstacles in finding meaning are combined with not being ready to let go, not having done the grieving process, so that we can really separate. And therefore we say, okay, I have possibilities, but they are not good enough. I want more. I'm not content with it. That's the greatest obstacle.
I have a question. If someone gives up on life, something happens to them, and they decide, you know what, it's meaningful, it doesn't have any meaning, and I don't want it anymore. Where do you start? Does the person need life or they need meaning?
Yeah, this is then when people reject their possibilities, because they say that's no life for me. This is the indication for counseling, therapy. When they are stubborn in this or fixed and cannot change, if they do not go into therapy, they will suffer, and the suffering itself is a therapy.
Even if they suffer or if they go to therapy, you feed them life or you feed them meaning? Do they need life to find meaning or do you need meaning to find life?
They need life to find meaning. We can work with them on the first and then the second and then the third fundamental motivation. We can work with them with the meaning-finding method, which has a similarity with this structure. We can apply a phenomenological method. I will briefly demonstrate them or show them you these methods. But when a person cannot give in because the person cannot give up, then you can forget about me. They have to work on the fundaments, on the walls of the house. The roof is not yet ready to be put on. We must prepare people to make them ready for me.
We have a question from
okay.
online. We have Romy who says, she missed a few minutes, but according to the opening presumption of the workshop, the transcendent action assisting others leads to a sense of meaning. Having engaged in social action all my life, it has not led to a sense of authentic self. If I then direct the question towards myself, what is the world asking of me? This is a route to ontological guilt, as all the responsibility of meaning creation is mine.
Mm-hmm. And this was helpful? So it was not helpful to have this notion about self-transcendence. It was not fulfilling. This happens often. This is a problem which is happens often in logotherapy, that we can describe the importance of self-transcendence. It is has a philosophical basis, an anthropological basis. It is true, but it does not describe what to do practically. And then people know about it and don't feel fulfilled in their meaning process. And then she says, it is helpful when I understood at least that she wrote, Brownie wrote, that it is helpful when I took the question personally. In that sense, as I described before, meaning wants me. Frankl's existential turn. What can I concretely, practically do? And be it as less as it is, but maybe it is a first step towards a change. And this is important, that we make it personal. Otherwise, meaning is an empty concept, a construction, a theoretical construction, when we cannot fill it with life. With my life, in the concrete situation, here and now. And this is the existential task I am talking about. What possibility do I have now? And when I have difficulties to accept the possibilities, then my life is blocked. Because meaning is always connected with taking up possibilities. And if I don't take them up, if I don't agree, if I don't have inner consent to them, I'm blocked. I'm existentially blocked. And the question of meaning remains. And the suffering of meaning. And it may become that urgent that I become suicidal. To become suicide is the outcome of not having found meaning in life. It makes us suicidal, sooner or later.
I was thinking about the book that Camus wrote, The Myth of Sisyphus, and exactly about that, like, it is a discussion about why not suiciding? It seems to me, maybe I'm reading wrong, but he said that even in meaninglessness, people would find solidarity and would find a way of at least find happiness or an existence in that situation. I'm not sure if he says that this in meaningless would find meaning.
Yeah.
But still, like, you can find something in there that's going to keep you going. And, even if you have to roll the rock every day and the rock is going to come down meaninglessness, you yourself, for being in that situation, you can find something to go home.
Yeah, he makes, psychologically speaking, a clear proposition. Camus makes a clever proposition. He said, Sisyphus is happy in this seemingly meaningless action. Why? Because he didn't give in the punishment of the gods. Gods wanted him to suffer from absurdity. But Sisyphus is a human being. He is a clever man. He makes use of his freedom, and because of his freedom, he can decide to accept that as being my fate and give his okay to it and say, I am happy that I can push this rock on the mountain every day and see it falling down every evening. And this is my life, and this is so beautiful to see it. And so Sisyphus can escape the punishment of God and at the same time escape the suffering of meaninglessness because of his freedom, because of acceptance. Here we have an example of the importance of acceptance. As long as we don't accept the situation, we cannot find meaning. As long as we don't accept the limitation of the possibilities which I have under certain situations, it's meaningless to get separated, because then I lose my family, and I always wanted to have a family and happy togetherness with a husband or a partner, and so, and therefore I cannot separate, and living alone is so much less than I wanted to have, that was my wish, compared with this subjective norm. Life cannot become meaningful again when I'm separated. The problem is in my head, the problem is in my attitude, the problem is in not being able to accept, and then we have to work on the acceptance, and therefore we have to go down to the other structures of existence, to the first fundamental motivation, where acceptance plays a fundamental role, and we have to work there. We cannot resolve it from the meaning concept. These are the new discoveries of the new existential analysis, which goes much deeper as a psychotherapy than logotherapy ever did. And therefore, logotherapy is important, is still important, but it had no fundamentals. And we need the fundamentals when problems arise in finding meaning. We can teach how meaning can be found and how it looks like, but to assist people to go there needs fundamentals. So, existential meaning, what is the best possibility? Most frequent difficulty, I'm not ready to agree with that reduced level of life. I deserve better life. It's difficult to step back from a certain degree of quality of life, to live in a smaller apartment, to live with less money, less consume. It's for all human beings, it brings up some difficulties, but we can learn it, we can adjust, and we can find the good in it. And that is the quest of life. That is what life asks me. Are you capable to see the good, the valuable, even in a seemingly reduced life? With a cancer, with a lost partner, with a broken friendship, with the age, etc. And there are values. existential meaning, look at the possibilities and look what are the best possibilities in this situation. Best means evaluate them. For to be able to evaluate them, we need feelings. This doesn't mean an evaluation just on a rational basis. It means evaluation on the level of feeling. But in my feeling is the better, is more valuable. If I from now on do meditation every morning or go for a walk or listen to Bach for 15 minutes before I go to work, what is the best what I can do to start a day fully? What is the best way I can start the day? What is the best way I can finish the day? We are constantly confronted with these with the existential questions of meaning to make the best decision. Therefore, we need our emotionality, our feelings. Otherwise, we cannot find meaning when we have no access to what touches me.
What about the patients that suffer with no touch with their emotions?
Then we have to work on their emotions and on the blockages and on the dissociations and on the pain which makes them blocked.
And then it arises.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the question for meaning which arises for them. They say, I don't find meaning, and life has no meaning, it's so empty. And this meaning tells them it's not good to continue that way. It's not worthy enough. But what can you do to make it a bit better? And he says, I don't know what is really good in my life. And then the psychologist has asked him, okay, when you don't know what is good in your life, how is it with your feeling? Without feeling, without open access to feelings, you can't find out what is good in your life. Where did you lose your feelings? What makes your feelings so numb, so distant, so impersonal? And this may mean that we have to do maybe a year of psychotherapy just to free the emotionality. We have this in the definition of existential analysis. Psychotherapy which helps people to come to a free emotionality. This is number one in our work. And then to authentic decisions. And then to a responsible dealing with oneself and the world. These are the core elements of existential psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. So we see how it all belongs together. Being myself, living my life, being realistic, and finding meaning. Finding meaning is the top of it.
What about the comment before? I'm not sure if I think I didn't get it, but yeah. As far as I understood, she was making social work and wasn't getting the meaning for herself in the end. Is it that way? So she was helping out others?
The comment in the webinar?
Yeah, just before that was read last day.
Was that what Leslie read?
Yes.
I didn't understand that.
The woman says that it's not really a clear question. She had some just thoughts, but she also wanted to know about a methodology for assisting clients in meaning creation. If there's a reference to an article of yours, that would be helpful.
Yeah, in my webpage, Lengle.info, LAENGLE.info, there are English articles, several English articles in different years. There is an English section, but the English,
she can get it on.
Okay,
Rami, I'll send you the link now.
Yeah, and those of you who don't have the link to that ebook, you okay. can ask. Yeah, you can ask Leslie to send you the link. Existential meaning, the best possibility, which means on the realistic background, existential meaning is not in fantasy, is not a meaning in dreams, is not a meaning in wishes. With wishful thinking, you don't come to existential meaning. We must open ourselves to that actual, real situation. And let us, being asked by that situation, what can you contribute? How can you decide that something good happens? Something good for yourself or for others? Or for both? That's a very practical description of existential meaning. We are co-creators of this world. We are asked to contribute. Not only to have a good life for ourselves, but also to contribute to a better world, family world, world of friends, laboral world, wherever I am in and I am connected, I am asked for my contribution. And when I can contribute to the embetterment, to the improvement, I can experience myself as being good for something. That makes my life meaningful. Two forms of meaning, to come to the conclusion of this section. Ontological meaning, existential meaning. Next section. What do we do when people suffer from a lack of ontological meaning? When they say, my life has no meaning anymore. Since the loss of my child, the meaning of my life is over. We can only say, have a look at the religion and the philosophy. Go to a rabbi, to a priest, to meditation, whatever.
But what if they're atheists? They have no faith. Then?
They come to the logotherapist. And even people who go to the rabbi or to the priest say, I still suffer. I know somehow God will help me, but I feel so alone, so lost, so empty, so in despair. It doesn't help me. This also happens. What can we do on a psychological level? They need psychological help.
But isn't losing a child a rather existential point and not
sure.
Psychological?
Yeah. But when people say, after the loss of this child, my life has no more meaning.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I have to suffer this.
Yes, but there are two different meanings. Like the
ontological
right. Losing the child is existential, yeah?
But the meaning, it is existential, but because it concerns me so much. It changes my life so much. Therefore, we can say, this is a real existential happening, fact, event. And then the question of meaning comes up. And this can be an existential question, but it can be an ontological question. When the question of meaning is an existential question, then we can continue. When it is an ontological question, this is the greater difficulty for the psychologist. Normally, psychologists feel very helpless in front of an ontological quest of meaning. What can I say? What the meaning of life is when people suffer so much after a cruel death, maybe cruel death of their child, and don't know what for to live anymore. Psychologists are not priests. Priests at least can pray with them or for them, etc. But psychologists don't do that. We have to work with our psychological tools. And we say to them, okay, this question, we know now there are two questions of meaning. And we diagnose it as an unresolved ontological meaning question. When we have this diagnosis, we have to say them, sorry, I can't help you in that. And sorry, no human being can help you in that. I don't know nobody who can give you that answer, what your life meaning could be after the death of a child. This is the question of what meaning has life itself, which becomes so acute and prominent and painful by the death of your child. But this question is there all the time. We don't know it. For this, we can only look at the metaphysical dimension. This is the question of religion. Every religion deals with that fact, why am I on the earth? Buddhists say to be reborn until I can go to the nirvana. Christians have their answer, Muslims have their answer. All religion has an answer to this ontological question. And many philosophies deal with that question. So this is a question of religion, belief and philosophy. Maybe you have an intuitive feeling, an idea of what the meaning can be. Look at that also. The three elements, religion, philosophy and intuitive feeling of a possible answer to that question. But nobody can give you the answer, no human being. Philosophy can give you some thoughts, but doesn't give you the real answer. And now Viktor Frankl comes with his existential turn, and this was a great contribution of Frankl to the psychology, to make this philosophical and theological question a psychological one. And he said, but you can make an existential turn, theoretically speaking, to the patient. We say, practically speaking, but you can do something. You can look at what this terrible fact wants from you, what life wants from you, what could be your answer to this question. That this fact is a question for you. What can you personally do with this fact? What possibilities do you have at hand after this death? Frankl gave examples. Like he spoke about a woman he met after a public speech or meeting. A woman came up to him and talked to him. And then he said, "Oh, you have a very extravagant necklace. What is it what you have there?" And he said, "Oh, these are teeth from children, which are, made by gold, hold by a gold, by gold, yeah. And I had 7 children, and there are 7 teeth. And this is the teeth from Sarah, and this is the teeth," and so on, and she named all the. And they all died in concentration camp. And Frankl was shocked and said, "Wow. And you are wearing these teeth, and you are keeping your children with you symbolically? How can you bear that?" And she said, "I was devastated. But I always wanted to live for children. And after having lost all my children, I still continue to live for children. I founded an orphan's house, and I have now 40 children there. And they are my children." This is something, this is a possibility. Not for everyone, but for this lady it was. She was good in organization, she was practical. And she could multiply, she could take her pain and make it fruitful for something which corresponded perfectly to herself. She continued to live her life authentically, despite these difficulties. I don't know, but I can imagine that she found deep fulfillment in that, and she somehow kept her children alive in what she is doing. Sure, not everything is perfect, but the idea is impressive, isn't it? This is a role model. This is how we can make use of pain and suffering and loss and find a meaning despite of the suffering.
So there is an example of not the religious answer to the situation,
right,
the psychological answer to this, the existential turn.
Yeah, this is an example of an existential turn, of suffering from that ontological meaninglessness, which I don't understand, and why me? But existentially turned, she knew, she became to know, why me? Because this wants from me that I care for other children. This woman lived in Israel. In Israel, yeah. I don't know if she still lives, but.
Not the necklace? I mean, she could have chosen a turn and not have made the necklace.
Sure, yeah. The necklace is more symbolic and yeah.
It feels like super expressive.
Yeah.
Like a creative expression, like an artistic expression of what
really
happened and how strong it was.
Yeah, I assume that this lady may have some histrionic traits, but it doesn't matter that much. What she did is a deed, an existential deed. She made fruitful her life.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe this is a male question. You have to consider that also. Yeah, gender type psychology is also important. Okay, so in this dead end of meaninglessness, because the meaning question is an ontological meaning question, we can find a way out by turning it into an existential question. And then we can say, generally, what you suffer from is not so important. That's not the issue. If you have cancer or not, that's not important. Of course it has some importance, but it's not the important thing. Be it cancer or not. Important is something else. What would you say is important?
What you do with it.
To do the best of it.
Yeah, what you do with it. Your answer to the situation. This is why we live for, to find our answers. But this is realistic. This doesn't depend from any ideology, from any religion. This is valuable for the Buddhist and the Islamic as well as for the Christian or the atheist. This is way before any differentiation into religions or cultures. It's before. It's simply purely human. And the existential philosophy, Camus has the same answer, and Sartre, and Gabriel Marcel, and Heidegger was not so much on that practical level, but in Jaspers, and so you find these answers in the whole existential philosophy. And Frankl was a person who really made it practical in doing, in defining, on the background of Max Scheler's philosophy, brought it into psychiatry first and then into psychology and psychotherapy and counseling. Make real our existence. Activate ourselves. It is humble. It's very humble. It means doing little things, fulfilling everyday life. But the great questions are in there. We are dealing with these great questions. Therefore, it's so important that we have an open eye for the deep structures of existence which happen when we come together, when we transcend ourselves into a common seminar and meet here. It is possible that we can transcend not only ourselves but also the moment, and we do it not only for now, we do it for our future. A double transcendence, a local and a transcendence in time. That we have such open eyes for the depth in what we do, in what we do in everyday life, that makes things speak to us. That is the phenomenology of the situation which we are open to. And this is a background for finding existential meaning. We don't go deeper in that, but there are much more deeper layers for that existential meaning. We hope we keep it on a practical level. Make the existential turn in the problem, unresolved problem of ontological meaning. In the next step, we look at how can we deal with existential meaning. How can we find existential meaning? Frankl gave a description. He wrote about the three main roads to meaning and said, in principle, you have the existential turn as the key to all kind of meaning. Let you be asked. But what is asking you? What is the substance of meaning? And he said, the substance of meaning is a value. Only values can lead to meaning. Every meaning contains at least one value. I cite Frankl, he wrote once in The Suffering Human Being, Homo Patiens, he wrote, we fulfill meaning by realizing values. This brings up the question, what is a value? A value is something which has an influence upon us, that it moves our feelings so that we can experience that this is helpful for life, for my life or the life of other people. That is a value. It must be felt. The tool by which we experience, by which we find an existentially relevant value, existential values, the tool for finding existential values are the feelings. Without feelings, just by rational thinking, we don't find those values which lead to a meaning. We find theoretical values, values for the society, values for the animals, values for religious values, etc. But not values which can lead us to the experience of meaning. It's only values which we feel can bring us there. And what we feel when we experience a value is, this is helpful for life. In the seminar we will speak about this a bit more tomorrow. For here it should be enough to have this notion, helpful for life. I feel this is good. Like eating when I'm hungry, this food is a value. I experience this does good to me. And then sleeping, or then having an interesting book, it is good for my life. I see. Or helping somebody else, or and raising children, this is good for the children and for my life. These are values. And in the in Frankl's investigation and reflection found as a basis of his logotherapy that meaning can happen only by realization of meanings, of values. And he said, and there are three categories of values which form the three main roads to meaning. The category of meaning, the first, is experiential values. Whenever we experience something as being valuable, it's good. Good food, good talk, good sex, good encounter, good walking, a nice sunset, art, music, play. Whatever we experience as pleasurable, good, fine, nice. Second value, category of value, is creative values, where we produce something good by cooking, washing, working, writing. Whenever we do help people, this is also a main road to meaning. By the way, the most important experiential value is love. We spoke about it before. Love. Yeah. Ah, you wouldn't believe, but of course. Yeah.
Love is the third one, or no?
No, it's one of the first experiential values.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Creative values where we are productive. In experiential values, we enjoy.
Are you talking about the sex thing or the real love thing now?
The real love thing.
Real love thing.
Emotion or love?
All.
Yeah, I mean, love is a rock or for a lot of things. So.
Yeah, you. I would say, try and find out. Okay.
The one or the other or both are an experiential value to me, or?
Yeah. The best is you have both together.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Point, yeah. This is all I got.
But maybe you can enjoy pure sex. Maybe you can't. Try. Logotherapy is open to that. The logotherapy does not say what is the moral thing you should do. Logotherapy says only if you, whatever you experience as being good and helpful for your life or the life of others, this is a way to meaning. This brings up meaning. So, don't be a workaholic. Look also at your enjoyments. Otherwise, your life will not be enough meaningful. Just working is not enough. Enjoy also. Look for pleasure and take your experiential values. And the third one is the most difficult one, because the one and two categories, enjoying and doing something, already children can do it. They like ice cream and say play and construct castles in the sand, etc. Activity and enjoyment is very nice. But it is a gain of the mature person, of the maturation, to be able to come to the third categories, when number one and two is not working, when we are suffering, when we are dealing a fate, when we have nothing to enjoy and cannot do anything, when we are helpless, there is still one possibility. Attitudinal values, Frankl called them. Value lies in the attitude. Attitude means my position towards that fate, that terrible thing.
Like Sisyphus,
that was the example. Yeah. Frankl has the same thinking as Camus, but the difference is only that Camus said there is absurdity, and even then remains the absurdity, which is a belief. And Frankl says, I personally believe that there is a meaning. That's the difference. But the structure in it is the same. It's very interesting. Yeah. So, attitudinal value is the question, how do I suffer and what for do I suffer when I have to suffer? In the how, I can make minimal choices. I can cry or weep or shout or get drunk or run away or meditate or pray. Or there are many different forms of suffering. And for whom and what for am I suffering? I can have a goal. I can have some value in front of me. Like, I can do it for my relatives, for my friends, in the way I suffer and how I take it the attitude in which I am suffering, that they do not have to suffer more, that they don't see me such in a despair. And it happens often that people, dying people, consolate their friends or relatives or children. There are degrees of freedom, even in extreme life situations. It is a possibility. Maybe this is the best possibility in that situation, to help my nearest, closest, if they get some consolation, that they do not have to suffer so much, or that they do not have to suffer because of my despair or my egoistic behavior. That I want them to be around all the time for not being alone. I can grow in that, even in my last days of life. I can do it for myself, to say, I want to finish my life or to go through this situation in a way that I can look into my eyes, that I can recognize myself even in this utmost and difficult situation, that I am faithful to me, live my fidelity to me and my life. I can be religious, I can say I do it for my God or for my next life or for whatever. There are still possibilities, very hidden, not easily accessible, but they are there. And we can assist people and help people to find them. And this is, of course, very intimate, very personal. All this deep suffering is very intimate.
So, attitudinal values are part of adult life, but I'd like to know what happens when life is really tough with a child, and so his ego is so much immature to formulate this kind of question. What do we have then?
Then we have the relationship. These also, the adults need, most often need the relationship and need people who are close to them. Not everyone. But children absolutely need somebody who is close to them and keeps them. And we know that children up to the age of 5 or 6 have no greater difficulty to die themselves, when they are kept in a relationship. After then they have a broader view of existence and they start thinking, and then they need more dialogue about this. But up to that age, they need mainly kept and treated very relational and close. Thank you.
Which is the third now?
The third is the attitudinal value. Attitudes. Values of attitudes. You know what an attitude is?
Yeah.
Yeah. The attitude.
Am I suffering or am I doing the best out of it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. How can I suffer? What is my way of suffering? What is the best possibility in suffering? How much do I want to claim from others? How much can I do by myself? How well can I establish my inner dialogue, etc.? And for whom am I doing it? And this is also again a metaphysical question. What is the deeply felt meaning of life? Maybe the meaning of life is to be faithful with myself, to not give up myself, to be in line with myself, to be in tune with myself, up to the last moment, in the most difficult life situation, to regain myself. Maybe this is the meaning, or the religious meaning, or to be for others, to be there for others. We don't make prescriptions. We want to help people to find their possibilities. And possibilities means what is possible in general and what is especially possible for you in that situation. Don't do more than what is possible for you. It's not claimed anything more. Just do what you can do. That's enough for life. That's enough for a meaningful life, for a fulfilling life.
I was just thinking that these three categories, they are not strict, right? That things which are in there can, like, touches all three categories. For example, you were speaking about love. I think this can touch all three categories, right?
Right.
It can be experiential in creative way and also with the attitude. Also.
Yeah, it is. It's Yeah, it is a bit an abstract description, but it also gives some idea. I'm with you. I see it in the same way. When we look closer and more precisely to the things, then the categories lose their strict separation and they come closer together. I want to give you next an idea how to work practically, methodologically, when people lose meaning or suffer from meaninglessness. I give you two methods, briefly. The first method is the phenomenological method. When somebody is sitting in front of you and saying, I don't see the meaning in my life anymore, then ask him, when did it start? What happened? Since when? What did it take away? Because it wasn't always so. Look at the problem, first step. What blocks you? What separates you? So we can make it schematic. Person, we look first at what blocks it. What took it away? Then, second, we go back to the experience, to the positive experience of meaning. Did you ever have a meaningful life? Did you ever experience meaning? Was there meaningful life in your life? What was meaningful in your life? Your childhood, your studies, your work, maybe before. And so to reconnect with to get the own life, the own experience, the lived definition of meaning. So that they know what meaning is and they can reconnect again to that time. Sometimes it's enough to do step one. Sometimes it's enough to do step three. But sometimes this is not even enough. And we have to go and look to the broadest horizon and look at the horizon of existence and make the existential turn and ask, and what do you have an idea what meaning, what the question is combined with your actual situation, with your loss of meaning. what may ask you this? Could it be good for something that we lost meaning? And the other method are four steps. The method of finding meaning. According to the four structures of existence, first step is look at the reality. What is given and what possibilities are there? What possibilities do you have? The second, look at the values. What is good in your life? What is valuable? What touches you? And which of these possibilities are the best possibilities? Or in what hierarchy are the values? The third is come to a decision. What is actually the best value? From all these values you have around. And the fourth is the action. It becomes meaningful only when you do it. And help your client to realize it. To do their decided meanings. To realize their answers to the situation. That's about what I wanted to bring in this seminar. You must be tired. The meaning of the situation seems to change. And something else, some other values, will become more prominent now. Leslie, do you have from the webinar some more questions? Or
no, they all wanted the e-book, which I gave them.
Yeah.
I wrote it up here for any of you that want to get a free e-book. It's a collection of, I think, most of Dr. Langland's articles. I wrote it right here. So you just click this link. And
it's www.mindbodypassport
mindbodypassport.com/therapeutic-conversations. If you can't find it or you wrote the wrong thing, just email me. I'm happy to send you that.
Yeah.
The first one was the phenomenal method, and the second one was
the method for finding meaning. Method for finding meaning.
The four-step method.
The four-step method for finding meaning. Yeah. Okay, I hope you enjoy. It seems you have no more questions, and I understand that. And I wish you an enjoying evening, joyful.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the few new students who came to this webinar. Thank you for your interest. I hope we can keep in connection somehow.
I have all their emails.
Oh, yeah. And thank you, Leslie, for organizing all this. You do such a good and fabulous work, really.
If anyone online has any more questions, please feel free to email.
Thank you. And also we do it that way in Czech Republic also. No? You clap.
We also do that, but
in theater we clap. Maybe this was more theater what I did, so you should check.
Well, we had a technical disaster. And
okay.
It worked enough.
It worked. Thank you.
Lucky at the
yeah.